everybody. Welcome back to Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast. This is episode 50, the big 5-0. We have done it. We're here. Everybody, round of applause. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Mikey Kirsch. Thank you, Avenge, JD Neal, everybody else in the chat. I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, we have two gentle fishes. One of them is Andy Asimakis. How are you, Andy?
I'm good. I had a very exciting week that I can't wait to get into.
I'm very excited to know
a little later on in the show.
Indeed. Indeed. And the other face that you're seeing in the box over here, or voice if you're listening to the audio show, that is Taylor Allen. How are you, Taylor?
I'm doing fantastic, Stephen, except for the fact that my baby woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning last night threw up on me and my wife and our entire bed. So we had to change our sheets and we were up for an hour and I'm exhausted. Yeah. Aside from that, I'm doing great.
Babies throw up sometimes. Sometimes it's for a reason. Sometimes it's not at all.
Babies.
And you just never know what the issue is.
Just to fuck with you a little bit.
Just to assert dominance, as it were. Folks, this is the Dual Screens Crossplay Podcast, the internet's number one gaming news podcast starring people that you've never heard of, probably. The show posts each and every Tuesday night for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including our home, Podbean. And of course, the video on demand goes up one day after our live recording, which is on Tuesday nights on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. And you could catch that video on demand on youtube.com/dualscreenstv. If you are watching on YouTube, thank you so much for doing so. Please hit the thumbs up, subscribe to the thing, leave a comment below, and all that fun stuff. Everybody who watches our videos is like, you guys deserve more subs. Well, the power is in your hands. You could hit that button right now. Right now. We'll wait. Thank you. Oh, you could also hit the notification. Yeah, the little bell. Yep. You got it? You got the bell? Excellent. Excellent. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving us a review. It helps the algorithm. It'll say, hey, people are listening to these guys. Maybe we should tell other people to listen to these guys. I think that's cool. We just finished recording right before we went live here, our episode for the Dual Screens Podcast, which is going up on Friday. We had Ian from the Prue, the co-founder and basically the CEO of the 1049, right? 1049 or 1047?
1047.
Sorry. Listen, the number, I don't have the doc in front of me, so I'm doing
50-50
this.
50-50 shot out there, Taylor. You went with it. I appreciate that.
So confidently, I was like, yeah, it's 1059. Nope.
I don't know. I was trying. The creators of Splitgate, which is a game that Taylor and I just rediscovered this weekend and absolutely loved it. So we just wrapped up that episode. And if you want to listen to that, please, you don't have to go anywhere else. It's the same channel, the same network, the same everything. Just check it out and download it on Friday when it releases. And we would appreciate that greatly. And if you want to support us with your hard-earned cash dollar bills, go to patreon.com/NDS podcast. Just like our Patreon producers, Colton the Apprentice Nestler and FNH Paul, we cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So we do appreciate it. And just $1 gets you some bonus content. Literally just $1. All right. It is time to get into the show. And we like to start the show off with a little segment and future t-shirt designed by Missed Enough. Now going on 11 months in design. It's going to be one hell of a design when it comes out. And it is, of course, The Adventures in Gaming. Taylor, what have you been playing?
Steve, I have been playing a lot of games that you have also been playing because we've been playing them together. Mm-hmm. Playing a lot of Call of Duty Cold War.
Yes, we have.
Which we'll talk about here in a second. Been playing a lot of Splitgate, I just want to say that game is free, people. Go to Steam right now, download that fucking game, because holy shit, it's so awesome. And then I have been balls deep in Cyberpunk 2077. And I understand a lot of people are having issues with that game, and I would kindly like to say I am loving it, and I'm sorry that you're having issues.
I mean, I think that's fair. I think those are fair things to say.
It's so good.
Since you and I are basically playing the same games, I guess we'll just have a little conversation about what we've been doing.
Sure.
So Call of Duty, we kind of fell in love with that game. I played it with a friend of ours, Bilby, who came in, did a ride or die, said, I want to play this game with you all for your stream on Friday. Got in there. I loved it. It really, when you started playing it, and you were thinking about skipping a Call of Duty for the first time, like, ever, but you said it did this thing where it scratched that itch. It got you into that unlocking things mode and just kind of have fun with it. For me, it did something very different, because this is the first Call of Duty multiplayer game that I have played since 2009, which I believe was Modern Warfare 2. And so it's been 11 years since I've had this experience, this specific experience. So I missed a lot. I missed quite a bit. I mean, I did play a little bit of Warzone, but it really, I wasn't in love with it. but what this has done for me is it kind of brought me back to those times, that time when I was, you know, just finishing up college, you know, hanging out in my basement, my parents' basement, making dumb YouTube videos, just with the same frustrations, the same zany action, the same Nuketown map, you know, just shooting dudes and like figuring out what guns I like, and it's just been such a fun experience. Albeit a very frustrating one in some cases, as you alluded to a few weeks ago when you mentioned the skill-based matchmaking, how that could be very unbalanced. But I've still found myself at least leveling up. My kill-death ratio is still tickling a one, which is nice. It's like a little bit below one, then it's a little bit above one, and that's great for me. I'm like, yes, absolutely. If I die as much as I kill, I'm happy. But I feel myself getting better at the game, which I don't know if I could say the same for some other shooters that we played, like Rogue Company or Apex Legends. I feel like I've plateaued, but Call of Duty has this thing that it does where I guess it's the weapon unlocks that makes it so that the weapons are better in your hands as you're leveling up, which I don't necessarily agree with as far as a gameplay balance perspective, but as far as me feeling better, feeling like I'm doing better, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. I hit first prestige this weekend while we were playing. And they are doing something different this year with prestige than they have any game in the past. I'm glad they moved away from that jank ass system they had in Modern Warfare, because it was terrible. But you prestige automatically. You don't have to go in and choose that you want to prestige, because your weapon level and your weapon attachment progression and stuff like that does not reset. Which is a little bit weird. I kind of liked that, like, starting fresh back at level one feeling of prestiging. I understand for Call of Duty veterans and stuff like that why that would be kind of tedious, and like losing your favorite gun when you hit that prestige. And I felt like the system that they had in like Modern Warfare 3 or Black Ops 2, where you had prestige tokens and you could just permanently unlock things, was kind of the perfect balance for that. But no reset this time. Your level resets, but that's it. And I don't hate it, but I don't love it. But it's still very much scratching that itch. And I think they have to do this, because like the AK-47, I have level like 48 or almost 50, and I haven't even maxed it out yet.
Right.
And so if you were to reset that every time you prestige.
Prestige, like, used to be 100 levels, wasn't it?
In some games. In the Black Ops games, it's been 55. So, but I don't hate it, and I'm still really enjoying that that same progression of like unlocking shit and getting new attachments. I have been grinding this AK-47 recently.
Yeah, you have. Because grinding it. Andy, you hear them? You hear him? Just
grinding it right into the ground. because there's a certain set of attachments that you can get for that gun that I showed my stream this on Saturday when we were playing. I held my controller up like this. And just pulled the trigger and didn't touch the sticks at all, and the gun stayed perfectly straight. There was zero vertical recoil whatsoever, and my clumping for an entire magazine was like the size of a salad plate. It was incredible.
Listen, like, to this, Andy. A salad plate. Very interesting.
A salad
choice.
Plate.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to switch gears, because I want to get Andy involved in here, because a game that we all played, and I know, Andy, you played it on your own, and Taylor and I played it together, and we just did the interview with the developer, but I want to talk about Splitgate a little bit. because that game has come very far from the last time we played it. At least speaking for myself, but I think we're all on the same page there. Splitgate, of course, is a very Halo-esque multiplayer shooter, but with portals, and it was such a blast. It was so fun. And Andy, I know you had a little bit of a frustrating experience with it. At least you got your ass kicked, as far as what you've been telling us.
Well, you know, I'm not good at those games. I don't claim to be. I'm not like the best. Sure. I blame my connection. So it's, I don't have my dial-up isn't that great.
Right.
It's your ping. For me, it was more seeing how much it's come along since playing it over a year ago at PAX East 2019, and it feels so much better to play, like it's buttery smooth. Mm-hmm. Is the best way to describe it, and it's Halo and Portal together at last. It's like the best sales pitch ever. What's not to like about those two combinations? It's exactly what you think it is.
Right.
It's fun as shit.
I think it's gonna go. I think it's gonna take off. I think it really is.
It's getting there. It's really getting there.
Yeah, it's got a huge community right now, and it's once it hits that mainstream, once it hits consoles, and it has a marketing budget behind it, because they haven't dipped into their marketing, as you'll learn from the episode when you listen to it on Friday. But you know, once they get that ball rolling, I really don't think there's gonna be any stopping it, because it has so much variety as it is. Like when we played Taylor, when you and I played Rogue Company when it was in its beta. Like, we had the one or two game modes. That was it. And we got bored of that before the game properly released, and it felt like too little too late when they expanded it for the game release. Mm-hmm. We still were a little burnt out on the game. We were like, do you want to play Rogue Company? Yeah, I guess I'll play. You know, it was more like that. But this, it's like, there are game modes we still haven't even touched, and we played for, you know, a couple hours in a row. Like, we were playing a playlist. So there's definitely going to be some options there. They're going to have more maps come out, more skins, more just a bunch of stuff. They're seasonal gameplay. They're trying to get into esports. The game is just going to have it has such a nice roadmap laid out that I'm really excited for the future of this game.
Yeah, I haven't had as much fun jumping into a new multiplayer game as I've had with Splitgate in a very, very long time. You know, Andy, as you've described it, Steve, as you've alluded to, and as we talked about quite a bit in the interview, the ability to just pick that game up and immediately understand what's going on, know what the weapons are going to do for the most part, understand at least the basics around the portals and you know, kind of how the mechanics work. Like, the language of the game is very easy to understand and pick up, and that allows you to just have a ton of fun right off the bat.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to continue playing this game for a very long time, hopefully.
Absolutely. The last one that we're going to talk about is Cyberpunk, which you mentioned that you're having a great time with. I dabbled. I will say that my opinion is more based off of what I've seen rather than what I've played, only because I did not dive in past character creation at this point. But I will say that the news that's been circling Cyberpunk this past week is sort of, I want to choose my words very carefully, but I think kind of gross or it is sort of a way that you could explain this if you look at the timeline of events that has happened, and we're going to get into a little bit more of that in the news. Which we can actually tie into this if you really wanted to, but as far as gameplay experience, it looks like a ton of people are having very different experiences, specifically your base PS4 and your Xbox One players, which by the way, was the initial very first consoles that these were announced to be coming to 10 years ago when the game was revealed. And it is clearly, very clearly, unable to run in any sort of reasonable fashion. Fortunately, the PlayStation 4 version is a little bit better than the Xbox One S version, but it's barely, barely better. Go ahead, you were going to say something?
It's almost laughable how bad it is.
No, like, it is laughable. If it like wasn't so painful.
It's an N64 game. Like,
I don't even... Yeah.
Oh, God.
Like, polygons and stuff like that, it just... I was watching a lot of Digital Foundry stuff on this.
Yes, that's where I'm basing most of what I'm going to be talking about at this point.
polygon density and stuff like that, it looks like a PS1 or an N64 game. Like it looks like Cloud Strife from Final Fantasy VII with his weird like octagon forearms and like triangle hair. Like it's abhorrent and honestly incredibly embarrassing that CDPR even put it out in this state.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what else you can say besides that. There's absolutely no excusing this.
Yeah. But to get to just the actual gameplay of it all, I feel like they did something that I didn't expect them to do, which was get away from what worked in The Witcher. And they tried so much new as far as how they structured, how they're structuring side quests, how they're making your character function in the world, and how the world functions in general. It seems like they decided what they wanted to do very late in development here, as far as how they wanted all these systems to talk to each other, as far as how they wanted your leveling, how you level up your character, your augmentations, how you as a character, like when you start the game, your character knows what's going on in the world. Like you're in the middle of your character living its life. So it's not like you have that fish out of water or the stranger in a strange land situation where you're learning about the world with the character. Your character is in a specific place in spite of the fact that you know nothing about the universe. And I feel like that really is antithetical to adding weight to the story, adding weight to your actions, giving you reason to keep pushing forward and outside of just leveling up your little items. And they don't do anything particularly spectacular with how you actually do any of the tasks in front of you. It's very derivative of what we've known. It's a Deus Ex. It's a Watch Dogs. It's a Fallout. It's like all of these things, little bits and pieces. And you're like, oh, this is stealth. I know how to do this. This is stealth. They don't really add anything to that. Like I felt like The Witcher added much more to the action RPG genre. And of course, The Witcher, the side quests were the reason to keep playing that game because they were so spectacularly written and so much fun to do. And, you know, looking at, you know, the community we're in, there's like 15 people that are playing this game right now. And a lot of them are just kind of doing it. Like they're not really enjoying it. There's no big, you know, cool moments right now. The game looks gorgeous on PC. I'm not going to take that away. But like, I don't know if this is going to, I don't know. That's why I've been so apprehensive about diving into it, is like everything that I'm seeing of other people is like kind of putting me off to it. Almost in the same way that happened with what happened with the Avengers.
Sure. Let me sell you on this game, because you kind of danced around a few things right there. And if you have the ability to play this game on PC or on the next gen consoles, then I say, in my opinion, it's absolutely worth it. I have played probably between my two save files close to 25 hours of this game. And the side content by far is the best content in the game, like bar none, very much like The Witcher. You don't see it very early on, and a lot of people don't realize those first couple of missions that everyone's streaming on Twitch is just kind of the prologue. Once you actually kind of get released into the entirety of Night City, the side quests and the writing around them are still very incredible. You know, I don't want to take anything away from the team at CDPR. They know how to write compelling characters, compelling side content, and they do a very good job at it. So if you're not feeling that, I would say absolutely continue to push through, and you'll get to them very, very soon if you're not there already. Because the side content's fantastic. I will say the lack of the like stranger in a new land, or like, you know, just waking up after coming out of a vault or whatever and like feeling like your character is actually a part of the world is a little jarring at first. And it's hard to initially immerse yourself as V is going around and talking to all of these people that he or she has known their entire lives, but you're right, just meeting for the first time. You know, that is a little bit weird.
It's just a weird choice to me.
Yeah.
I think the reason why they made that choice is because who V is, as you're continuing through and you're augmenting yourself and the story's kind of unfolding in front of you, is changing to the character that you would expect V to be when you start, like barely recognizable from who V was in the beginning. And like, you could kind of see that like them kind of setting that up, that like everything V thinks that he or she knows is going to be flipped on its head very soon. So like, maybe that's the reason for that, just to give you that juxtaposition, that icy hot kind of situation. Andy, did you dive in at all on this?
I told you I'm waiting until it's actually a playable game.
But did you dive at all on like any sort of, like, you read the reviews? Like, did you look at anybody playing?
I've read
playing?
Some reviews. I've watched no gameplay. I've seen some GIFs here and there, but I want to go in as fresh as possible when the game is in its most polished state a year from now.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
All right, Andy, you wanted to go last here for a specific reason. Your list here is blank. So,
well, I can tell you what I purchased and downloaded this week. I got my copy of Phoenix Immortals in the mail.
Okay.
That was nice. My download code for Temtem for PS5 came in.
Hey, Temtem.
The other day. But unfortunately, I can't play games for a little bit.
Oh my.
Because I have an injury on my thumb, which was really bad, and it still hurts, by the way. So, you know, we ask our guests on the show about their dumb injuries that they do to themselves, and I think this may be the best one ever. It's just so stupid. So we got a potato peeler in the mail the other day, and to specifically make waffle fries. And it was giving us a bit of a hard time. It gave people a little bit of a fight. And I was like, you know what? I'll try to get a nice cut on the fry. And it got jammed. And my reptilian brain took over. And I kind of went all in. And the next thing you know, there was a huge chunk of my thumb in the slicer. Massive. And it was like so deep down to the bone. It was like a sieve. It wouldn't stop. And the best part was that I ran to urgent care and they were like, sir, we're on a break. You have to come back in half an hour. And I'm just like holding my thumb.
Ma'am?
Bleeding.
This says no.
So I ran to a different urgent care and they saw me immediately. But yeah, it's healing nicely. It's just I can't bend it too much. And I try holding a controller. It doesn't work.
Did
it's
you get a tendon or anything like that?
No nerve damage. It's all good. I'm on antibiotic just in case because it was that close to the bone. And yeah, that was my Friday. It was like
so. This was like my cousin Vinny when he goes to the suit store, and it's closed for flu because the entire store got the flu.
Right, the flu.
This is what this was. This was, oh no, we're on a break. Everyone, the whole place is on a break right now. It's urgent care, not sometimes care.
Yeah.
It's
like, we gotta eat. We gotta eat. But no joke, I had just went outside, did some shopping, left the dog at the dog groomer, came back home, got my finger eviscerated, went to the urgent care, got patched up, and all that time the dog was like, hey, your dog's ready now. So I was like, great, I can go right from the urgent care to the fucking groomer and pick up the dog.
Sorry, I need to get the smell of blood off of my hand, otherwise the dogs in that place are gonna go mental.
I had remarkably low blood pressure when I got there.
That's not good at all. That's the opposite. That's blood loss, friend.
Like, you seem pretty calm. I was like, I'm more pissed that I couldn't go to the first urgent care. It's like a block from my house. I had to run 10 blocks to go see you guys. But
did the second urgent care say they didn't wait? What they were on a break, so they let your gushing thumb just bleed out? Like, I feel like that's against the Hippocratic Oath at that point.
It really is. And the best was, Ken was just like, I cannot believe that just happened. Your thumb is in the slicer. It's like, how dumb are you?
Now is Ken? Ken,
we'll find out. This is nothing. I'm way dumber than this.
Ken could be one of two people to me, but I'm not, and I've only met him a couple of times, so I can't. I don't really know for sure. Is Ken a person who does this, or is Ken does one of these? Oh shit, we got to get this wrapped now.
He was like, as long as I was calm, he was calm. It was just so much blood, a lot of it, all over the place.
Blech. 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 I hate it.
I'll be playing games in a couple of days. We'll see.
We'll see. And now it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for a minute of Apex Legends. Taylor, you wrote a little note here.
Yeah, mid-season reset in Apex makes me sad, and it honestly doesn't make sense. I don't understand why they reset your rank halfway through the season. I don't understand why they make me play on the stupid map that I don't like.
I understand.
Hate me and don't want me to play on their cool new map.
I understand.
I'm just bummed out. So I'm back to a bronze one, which is like a slap in the face. Yeah.
For me, I am taking a break from Apex Legends.
Oh no!
And here's why.
That's splitting.
Here's why. No, it is because I'm gonna wait until Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, when our friend Mikey Kirsch goes to Best Buy and picks up that PlayStation 5, and I want to be there when he boots that sumbitch up, downloads Apex Legends, and I will be there to run his first squad on the PlayStation 5, and the season's refreshed. We're going to get into ranked play. We're going to start fresh. He's going to have that buttery gameplay, that higher resolution, the beautiful lighting. He's going to be so great. His internet's probably still going to be kind of shitty, but either way, I mean, the Wi-Fi chip is much better, much stronger. I will say that. I'm playing on Wi-Fi because I only have one Ethernet cable long enough to go across the room, and that's in my computer because of the streaming. But
the streaming.
But
and that's a minute. It's over. Finished.
It is far superior to the PlayStation 4 as far as the Wi-Fi goes, and I love it very much. So, but anyway, that's a minute of Apex Legends. Let's get into the indie news update. What do you got for us, Andy?
So many games are getting release dates that we love and been waiting for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Cyber Shadow is out January 26th. Future guest on the show. Been waiting for a long time for this one. That's coming to all systems, but also launching on Game Pass. Ain't that a beautiful thing?
Yeah, buddy.
Among Us is on Switch now. So
right
get
now.
It. Play with your friends. It's awesome.
I'm curious to know how that plays.
Yeah, me too.
Because the worst part about it is the on mobile is the thumbstick. It's just terrible.
Yeah, I never tried it on mobile.
It's terrible. So I don't know. I'm wondering if it's like a combination where you're using the stick, but then you're also swiping. Mm-hmm. That'd be dope.
Super Meat Boy Forever is out like very next week, it looks like. December 23rd. That's like around the corner. That's another one that we've been waiting to get on the show. But it's always like when the game is almost out. Okay, cool. It's almost out now. Come to the show now, guy. It's come to the show.
Now officially almost
come
out.
Show.
Come on, bro, Namath. Get
we,
on the show.
We played that 2 years ago also, Steve, at PAX.
2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, well, it's coming in April. No, it wasn't.
No.
April 1 of 2021.
You lied.
And finally, Returnal, the Housemarque exclusive PS5 game.
This game looks so good.
It's coming out March 19th. And I want to say, I hate my life. I hate myself. When I saw this at the fucking Game Awards, all it took was like a hallway and a door. And I was like, it's Silent Hill! But it wasn't. It fucking wasn't.
Nope.
That's how much my heart wants it. That it's a door and a hallway.
Your brain is broken, friend. Your brain is broken.
And on that note, we segue into our first topic. Yep. Taylor, take it away.
Game Awards Roundup. This is how I want to do this. I am going to speed through all of these announcements, save one, which is the next thing on our news segment here. I'm going to speed through all of these and just kind of read them off headline style. And then we will get an overall feeling of how we like the announcements at the Game Awards. Okay?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. First up, new fighter announced for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. It's Sephiroth. Woohoo.
Sephiroth!
Next
best,
item,
best
Back
for
Blood showed their trailer. Mm-hmm. It's from the original Left 4 Dead team. Game looks cool if you like that game. in Forza Horizon 4, they're getting Cyberpunk 2077 cars. Gone Home Team's next game stars Kerry Russell and Booksmart's Caitlin Dever, called Open Roads. Dead Space dev reveals new survival horror game. Disco Elysium is getting a final cut on next-gen consoles. Taylor is very excited.
Oh, I'm excited.
BioWare teases the next Dragon Age game with a new trailer. There's not a lot there. Century Age of Ashes, that's a dragon dogfighting game. That game looks super cool. Call of Duty Warzone Season 1 gameplay trailer. It's more Warzone. Overcooked All You Can Eat gets Swedish Chef from the Muppets.
Oh, I missed that one. That's great.
Oh, so good.
That's my son's favorite character. He calls him Ferdy Ferdy.
That's funny. Microsoft Flight Simulator is coming to Series X in summer of 21. Fall Guys Season 3 was shown off, and the release date was announced. That was brutal. Today, actually.
The game is brutal.
Yes, yes, absolutely. New co-op game from the A Way Out team, doing the same like buddy share pass thing. Vin Diesel plays Ark and is in Ark 2, and that's real fucking weird. Fortnite is gobbling up another beloved gaming franchise. They get Master Chief as well as a Blood Gulch map and a little warthog. League of Legends single player spinoff game gets a new trailer. And the new Mass Effect game seems to be set immediately after the third game. I have concerns.
Hmm.
All right, and that is your Game Awards roundup. How did you guys feel about the show as a whole? What excites you? How are we, you know, feeling about these announcements?
A lot of stuff there to unpack. I feel like things weren't like overpromised and underdelivered. It was a lot of good stuff. Like certainly seeing Dragon Age and Mass Effect just there, even though there wasn't a lot of substance to what was announced, just like, hey, they're still happening and we're getting Mass Effect now. Cool. That was a little, that I didn't care for. I was like, oh, sure. It's coming back. Great. Thank you. Like Marvel Avengers credits scene. This will return soon. I loved Back for Blood. I was all about that shit when I saw it. Looked amazing. Sephiroth in Smash, oh my god, gave me chills when the music came on. He slashed the fucking thing. I was like, oh, so good. Yeah, it was a good show. Very not a lot of cringe. It was very well rounded. I feel like some of the speeches should have been cut shorter for the acceptance parts. Like, here's your limit. We can't pull you off stage because you're fucking on your Zoom call. But whatever. But yeah, good show. Great announcements. Yeah, and a lot to look forward to, I think, in the coming months. That Way Out developer game, that weird, like, fantasy, your wooden puppets thing.
Yeah.
Did not see that from that guy.
Yeah.
That caught me off guard. Of all things to make. Okay, I'm into it.
That was the same team that did Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons also. So
right.
They very much love their co-op experiences.
Right, and you know what? You don't rest on your laurels. It's like, do a whole new thing. The same kind of gimmick, but different art style, different feel. I love it. It looked really cute.
I think the best thing about the Game Awards was the marriage of the announcements. This is the first time that it was beautifully executed. The pace of the show. I know it wasn't live. It wasn't what we all wanted. But for what it was, I think it might have been the best overall production.
So much better. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree 100%.
Yeah, it was a great show to watch and be a part of. And you fuck. I just banged the shit out of my knee. God damn it. right on the patella. Fuck. But anyway, yeah, I thought that was the highlight, was like how well that was produced and put together. But yeah, those weren't the only announcements though. And by the way, Mass Effect continues, dumbest name ever. But yeah.
Is that a real name?
I think it continues. I think that was a
like, hey, well, they continues. Should probably come out and say that because the internet was very confused.
The internet is a dumb place.
on a quick note about Dragon Age Mass Effect, Andy said he was excited. He liked seeing them. I feel like this is a absolute move of desperation by BioWare, especially with the news 2 weeks ago of Casey Hudson and You know, another big guy at the studio leaving. I think they're right. very much trying to get people excited about that stuff.
Yeah.
Even though it seems like there's some internal turmoil.
Just I mean, announcing it lets them open pre-orders too. So
like right. Listen, to me, it was more for like, as far as the show goes, having it there
yeah,
is nice to see it. But like, I'm not a huge Dragon Age fan by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, that kind of lost its luster a long time ago for me. But as far as the show goes and showing things,
sure.
yeah, it's again, it's like a little mini E3 in a sense, what the show has become over time. It's, again, it's big things being shown.
Sure.
It's CG, but still, it's still being shown in some way.
Sure.
Speaking of CG.
Yeah.
You were going to say, Taylor?
I was going to say, but Andy, we did not talk about the biggest announcement. And I'm going to pass it over to you.
Oh,
but look I at like us. Your transition better. So.
Look at us. So
speaking of CG.
The game that I guess a lot of us saw coming. It was no surprise to anyone, I think, if you look at all the rumors and all the forums and the tweeters and all that kind of stuff. The Initiative's game has finally been revealed to us. Perfect Dark is back. Oh, yes.
Agent Dark.
And listen, I was, again, watching this thing unfold in real time. And I'm like, okay, this is Initiative's game. Cool. But then it dawns on you. Fuck, this is just the CG trailer. Why do we keep doing this? This has been in the works for, I think, long enough of a time where you can show something of a gameplay. I understand that we're reserving that for like an E3 next year from Microsoft, but
if there is one,
if there is, I'm just so over like this weird people going crazy. Oh, looks so good. What looks so good about it? It's not the game.
Yeah.
Yes, it's here. I mean, I love Perfect Dark. Didn't like Zero that much, so I have reservations about it going in. But in terms of what we saw, yes, it's here. It's real. We can point to it and say, yes, that's a game coming out for Series X. Thank God. She's back with a little funky haircut. But again, we need to stop doing CG. Like, at least Back 4 Blood gave us like CG and we get some gameplay. So there's that. And also, Taylor, did you mention Evil Dead in your roundup? I don't think you did. Did you?
Did I not? That was the one.
I don't know. Maybe I missed it. No. The Evil Dead. The movie franchise with Bruce Campbell.
Oh yeah. No, I didn't mention that at all. Okay. I totally forgot.
Well,
that
in any case, what were your guys' thoughts on, one, seeing Perfect Dark confirmed now? It's like it's an actual game. And then what you saw on the screen when it was revealed.
I am very excited to see what a brand new studio with Phil Spencer's vision, like fully behind it. You know, cause he kind of took on this initiative of like, you know, kind of bringing these new studios in and creating new studios and like really working on developing their first party content that they're putting out. And this is supposed to be their, like one of their flagship studios. So I am very excited to see what this can be fully led by, you know, a Phil Spencer ran Xbox without any of the like baggage of old Xbox. So I personally am very excited about this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, it's just I want to know if Perfect Dark is relevant anymore. Like, I remember back, you know, back in the day, it was, oh, this is the 007 killer. Like, there was no Call of Duty. You didn't need a Halo killer or a COD killer. You needed a 007 killer. And Perfect Dark, arguably, when it came out on 64, was a 007 killer. It was a GoldenEye killer. And then Perfect Dark Zero came out. And we know what happened there. And it was cock a poo poo pee pee. And so I'm wondering I know it matters to people who remember the 64 game. I know that. And I know it matters to people who haven't had blockbuster, a multitude of blockbuster AAA video games coming out of the Xbox's camp. I know that it matters. But I'm wondering if the brand has as much oomph behind it after such a long time off. I know that the rumor mill is very specific to a very hardcore group of people. I'm wondering if that will expand specifically based off of a CG trailer. Like, for somebody who honestly does not even remember the story of Perfect Dark, the fact that she had a specific haircut is completely lost on me. Like, that's probably the only cool thing about the trailer if you've played those games before. It's like, oh, it's Perfect Dark. Yay. Oh, and her hair is a specific timeline. So this doesn't, this is a prequel or this is around the first game. Like, that's the kind of shit that people were thinking about. But I don't know how big that brand really is. And I'm excited to see if Microsoft can make it as big as it almost was after the 64 game going into the Xbox
potential
One game.
Of what it could
Xbox
be.
Xbox 360 game, rather. Right.
I could totally see this being like a full reboot of the series and kind of just taking the naming convention and the character style, but like going a completely different direction with this as well. Like I don't think it needs to like so closely tie to the games on the three.
I worry that having Halo, having Gears, if this is just another one that's never going to be up there with a Halo and a Gears, you know, like that, like I want to see what they do to make, because this is their flagship. As you said, this is a flagship studio. This is most likely going to be positioned to be one of the top franchises going forward for Xbox. Does it have the panache? Does it matter how great the game is? Or is this going to be a Watch Dogs to Ubisoft's Assassin's Creed and what's the other one? Shit. See, I'm forgetting the names. But you know what I mean? Like, every studio, every publisher,
and sort of a thing.
Every studio has their thing. Like, for me on the PlayStation side, is Ghost of Tsushima going to be The Last of Us, Uncharted, and Infamous, and Spider-Man? Is it up there? We don't know. We don't know if that franchise has that power. The game was great, but that's what I'm wondering about from the Xbox side.
Just based on the hires that they've had for this studio and this project, like they have a lot of people from Rockstar, from Naughty Dog, from Sony Santa Monica, you know, some of the biggest like AAA highest renowned game devs out there. I have the utmost confidence in this team. And I think that this is going to be a new take on the series that is going to be an ongoing thing. I will say it's a little weird that we're getting another like first person shooter, even though this is obviously kind of a different feel, but like having another one of your flagship studios focus on a first person shooter instead of like a more, you know, third person action game or something, you know, that Sony's so well known for from Microsoft is strange. You know, they have Halo, they have Gears, like it would be nice to see something a little different, but you know, I still have a lot of faith in this team and I think they're going to do very well.
Yeah.
Well, I was relieved that it was actually an FPS and that third person rumor crap we got like months ago. I was like, whew, okay, that's all bunk. Thank you. It's Perfect Dark. It's an FPS. Hallelujah.
Perfect. Huh? Well, I can't believe this happened. But remember when Codemasters was going to be bought by 2K?
Oh, yeah. I recall that.
Yeah. EA said, fuck you.
We got deeper pockets,
we got
bruh.
More money. Here's $1.2 billion. And Codemasters was like, that'll do. All
right.
That'll do. The board of directors for British developer Codemasters has reached a purchase agreement with Electronic Arts, selling the company to the mega publisher for an estimated $1.2 billion. Just about $8 a share. That's going to be, if approved, it'll happen in early 2021. I'm not sure why EA needed this. I don't know EA's racing pedigree at this point, but I feel like they must have something. I don't know.
The reason they need this 100% is because they don't have anyone to develop Need for Speed games that are actually good.
That's an interesting take.
Like,
because they demolished those studios, right? Is that what I remember?
One of them did, and then the other one has been working on other stuff. They've been like a support studio and things like that. They did announce that the original Burnout team was moving back to Need for Speed, but it just that franchise has been floundering since the late 360 era. There hasn't been a good Need for Speed this console generation. And so getting people, and even if Codemasters doesn't develop it directly, but getting people who know how to create like vehicle engines and how car physics can right. work and stuff like that and can help on these games, like, is invaluable for them. So I think this is a huge move for them, and hopefully it will give Need for Speed and Burnout a shot in the arm that it very much needs.
That I didn't even think of it that way. I thought they had kind of had their thing and they were just going to go with their thing in that. I was thinking, oh, I guess they're going to add Formula One and Dirt to their to their lineup, and I'm like, oh, actually,
I don't think Codemasters is going to stop putting those out, but they've been putting out Dirt games like every other year.
Right.
Like they have been churning those bad boys out. And so if they can kind of slow back on those and do those less frequently and help out on like Need for Speed and stuff as well, I think that would be huge.
They also made Overlord. I didn't know that. I didn't know Codemasters made Overlord. Those are okay Overlords games. are fun little games too.
This is
I like the Dirt games.
This is like also a little bit of a adjacent win for Game Pass owners. I feel like EA gets now this under their umbrella, and that can go into a Game Pass down the line with that whole arrangement. So, hey, if I get more shit for on that plan, I'm all for it. But yeah, I just love how I wonder if it's just we're just so plugged in lately. We see so many deals, like we had Sony getting Crunchyroll like last week, and then the whole Bethesda thing, and then just if these things were happening as often as when we were younger gamers in like 10, 20 years ago, just companies buying up other things, but it seems like a lot of it's happening lately at an alarming pace.
it just costs way too much money to develop these things. And as much as there's a ton of money in it, I think it's just easier for the bullies to get in there and just be like, well, we already have the resources. Why struggle making the thing you guys want to make? When we can bring you in, you can make it for us. We'll get our cut and you guys will be set for life. You don't have to worry about anything.
Get some more resources.
And and I still think a lot of this has to do with just having shareholders, because apparently the deal with 2K was revolved around a percentage being cash and then the rest being stock options or something like that. It was something of that nature, where the monetary, the hard liquid cash monetary value was like $800 million. So EA coming in at $1.2 billion of just cash, just the cash buy, makes shareholders very rich very quickly. So, you know, shareholders have a lot to do with these acquisitions. It's not just an owner of a company being like, yeah, absolutely, I'll sell. I want to go live on a yacht somewhere. The shareholders are buying their yachts too, and I think that has a lot to do with it. Speaking of buying things for a bunch of money, Andy, why don't you take your next story here?
Oh, yeah, let's do that. So the Capcom data leak continues to yield interesting information. And this latest tidbit hasn't been confirmed, but again, anything's possible. Apparently, Nintendo paid $6 million for Monster Hunter Rise exclusivity for what appears to be 9 months, if I'm reading this correctly.
It's an interesting timetable.
Yeah, so apparently it came from Nintendo. They made the offer, and they were like, "Yeah, sure, we'll take that chump change for 9 months or 6 months of having this on your platform." This kind of confirms, like, again, the PC version of this game coming at some point down the line. But it's fun seeing these little backdoor dealings of how a company says, "Hey, we'll give you this cash. Just get this game on our system. You know, it'll be here. It's all nice and pretty." I wonder now, I want to ask you guys, knowing that this game is going to be at this point, without a doubt, a timed exclusive for the Switch, will you buy it for Switch or wait until it's out for PC or other consoles? Does it make you, all right, now that I know it's not going to be on the Switch, I could wait? And does this sort of like make the deal a little bit less special for Nintendo? Like, fuck. Nothing. The cat's out of the bag now. We know that's not going to be on our system for a long time. So what do you guys think about that?
If they make the game a portable necessity, like if the hook is such that having it portable is, it makes it the reason to play the game, I don't think it's going to harm them in any way. Plus, you know, Switch people, I think they have something like a 12-to-1 attach rate right now. Yeah, like they buy for games. They fucking buy everything.
They need anything that's like new and flashy.
Flashy, I think, is the word there. Like they, right? Because they'll buy, you know, Mario Kart fucking 8 Deluxe if it came out. You know, like they buy that again.
Nintendo's don't listen. Don't get any ideas.
Nintendo Hyper Fighting Deluxe Super
Plus Ultimate.
Yeah,
and like then they'll only come out for 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. 6 months.
Make it unavailable.
And then they'll say,
ask for a refund or like, hey, now that everyone knows about this deal, can you get some of the money back? Give us like $2 million back. People know about it now. Give us some of that cash back.
I don't know, man.
And also, is that's like a pretty cheap price when you think about it. Yeah. That's all it takes for a little quickie deal. 9 months, $6 million. See, and now you know why these happen so often. If it's that cheap, then that's why it happens.
I wonder what that's buying for Capcom. Like, is that funding the DLC essentially? Like the post-game content?
I mean, I feel like they know that's going to be a hit for them because of what World did for the franchise for Monster Hunter. So it's like, you know, we'll take $6 million, put on the Switch, it'll sell there, then it'll sell well elsewhere because... Right. It's no loss to them. It's like, sure. It's like, here's, just give me $6 million for no reason, really, at that point.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Sneaky Lawman doing sneaky things.
We should talk about Sneaky
Lawman.
This
is interesting. So, yes. As you know, there is a government funding bill that is tied to coronavirus relief. And I got a tickle. Hold on.
There you go.
And... So apparently, Senator Tillis has tried to sneak a very, very dangerous, very anti-consumer, anti-streamer, anti-content creator.
Anti-freedom.
Anti-freedom is a word.
Yes.
provision into this bill that will essentially make it a felony. That means jail time, folks. A felony if you use any sort of copywritten material on a stream, on any sort of content creation on the internet. Now, I know that a lot of you are probably thinking, well, duh, yeah, that shouldn't be allowed. Right now, it is a misdemeanor. It is a fine, or just you take the video down or you mute it or whatever. But I want to direct you to a game that we're going to speak about in length in a moment, Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk has a lot of licensed music in it, and even the unlicensed music apparently has been getting people flagged on Twitch right now because there's some sort of algorithm that's catching these songs or whatever it might be. They actually had to put a streamer mode in the game that turns off those tracks so that you don't get YMCA'd or DMCA'd, as it's actually called.
DMCA.
This makes it extremely difficult for streamers or gamers or anybody to make content about games such as Madden or any sports game, any racing game, Guitar Hero, SingStar, any of these games.
I think the scarier thing here, Steve, for especially us who like stream on Twitch and things like that, is technically... If you are streaming a video game, that is also in violation. And obviously we have had a symbiotic relationship, and I say we as like the community of streamers on Twitch with game developers and things like that. But at any moment, whether we like it or not, if they decide they want to enforce copyright law and say that we can't create content with their game and they want to issue a copyright strike, they are within their right to do that. And I know that that's not the case now, but there is absolutely nothing saying that that can't be. There's no sort of agreement between Twitch, between these game companies, things like that. So the music thing is the immediate, like, big red flag. But there's an even scarier, like, prospect down the road that if a game company decides they just want to, you know, be dicks and turn their nose up to Twitch, like...
Mm-hmm.
Well, wasn't that the Stadia exec that was like, yeah, pay a licensing fee to stream games on Twitch or some shit like that?
Even though that's ridiculous, like, technically speaking, within the rule of law and like the letter of the law around copyright, that's totally correct. Like, he's absolutely right that game studios can do that. And that's terrifying. The fact that we could be playing Call of Duty and Activision decides, yeah, we don't want people playing Call of Duty on Twitch anymore, could lead to jail time. Like, it's
terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you gotta make the argument. I mean, a good lawyer would make the argument that the content is transformative because you're commentating over it.
You're watching play the game, not right. the game itself. It's,
yeah, exactly. Like there are arguments. There are some people that literally they don't have a camera, they don't speak, they just show the game. And maybe you can make the argument that that's basically just, you know, putting a copy of the game up for people to view. But here, the biggest issue that I have with this is that this isn't the first time Tillis has tried to do something like this, but Tillis's major donors are the Motion Picture Association, Sony Pictures, ASCAP, Universal Music Group, Comcast and NBC Universal, the Internet and Television Association, Salem Media Group, Warner Music, and many others in the entertainment and cable industry. This just goes to speak. Also Fox Corporation, Sony Entertainment, Charter Communications, CBS, made donations all to Tillis.
That's what we call a red flag.
This is what we call a major red flag, because this. What's scary is that obviously you could have a conversation about money and politics and how it doesn't belong there anyway. You know, these big corporate donations that are just using a super PAC to kind of get their things, you know, get money into the pockets of people that make the laws. Mm-hmm. You have that. But just brushing that off to the side, this should tell people that the most powerful conglomerates in music and entertainment right now, you don't see any video game companies on here, but music and entertainment companies in general, music, film, and television, they're colluding here. This is a collusion attempt. This is them coming together, using their money to get laws passed that directly benefit them. And directly harm some of the people that consume that content in general. I don't know where this is going to lead. I think the worst part about this is probably going to table a much needed coronavirus relief bill or some sort of budget for next year. I think that's really the big travesty in all of this. I don't think something like this has any legs to get past anyway, but it's still scary to think about.
Yeah, it just sucks how we have to like do this weird shit where we have to sneak in things to bigger issues. It's like, why is this part of a virus relief bill? Nowhere near related to it whatsoever.
Right.
Don't keep it separate. The government.
Before we get into our final story, Buzz Killington just put in a submit your news story. This is coming from Microsoft. There's a limited preview for Outriders beginning today. Square Enix invites Xbox insiders to preview Outriders, that's easy for you to say, on Xbox One and Xbox Series X and S. Outriders is a 1-3 player co-op RPG shooter set in the original Dark, and limited spaces available. So if you're an Xbox insider, you can do this by going into your Xbox One or Series X console, sign in, launch the Xbox Insider app, navigate to previews or insider content, and then look for Outriders. Select join, wait for the registration to complete to be directed to the store and install the Outriders beta. So you could go do that right now if you feel like it. Right. If you're an insider. I don't think I'm an insider. I don't know what an insider is. But it's a thing. So finally, the last story here, as we're running pretty long here, we want to talk about the aside from the news that you did put in here, Taylor, I want to talk about the overall picture of what's been going on with CD Projekt Red, their most recent apology for the state of the game, and of course this story that you put in here. But before we get into your story, I just want to give a little timetable. Reviewers were given only the PC copy of this game to review. That is fact number one. Number two, any reviews that were made after the release of the game, which includes console release, any of those review, well, first of all, any review cannot use the own reviewer's footage. Mm-hmm. But specifically, any reviews made after that were also not allowed to use console footage for purposes of review. Third thing that happened,
so scummy,
was Digital Foundry and all these YouTube channels made their comparison videos. And we found out that the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, specifically the Xbox One S versions of these games, ran barely. And most of them were unplayable. For example, the One S, I wanted to say Series S, but that is not the case here. The One S version ran at 12 to 17 frames per second, whereas the PlayStation 4 base one ran from 17 to 21 frames per second. On the PS4 Pro, it ran at almost 30, but mostly between 24 and 30 frames per second. Same thing with the Xbox One X. I think ran at 30 and would dip below 30. There's a lot of different versions. But basically the newer consoles that are taking the backwards compatibility were actually running at 60 frames. No ray tracing, but the games ran, they worked, which was nice to see. After reviews came out, which again were only of the PC versions of these games, where we weren't allowed to see actual game capture, only the footage that CD Projekt Red provided the reviewers, CD Projekt Red decided to give their employees bonuses regardless of the review scores. Because originally, they gave bonuses based on the review scores. They would give out little tokens that were the CD Projekt bird. They would say, hey, great job, here's a token. They would get these tokens, and then those tokens would be traded in based on review scores for cash bonuses. They got rid of that. Everybody was like, oh, all right, cool, man. Yeah, the game had some technical issues. We understand. You wanted to get rid of those review, those ties to reviews. Then they come out and say that they should have been paying more attention to the current console versions of the game and understand if people want their refund, but they're going to go back and they're going to, work on those things. The discussion here, gentlemen, as brief as it must be because of the length of the show,
we'll make it fast and nasty. Don't worry about that.
How the fuck can you not be paying attention to the current version of a game which you announced 10 years ago for the current version that you put the game out on? How is this acceptable in any way, shape, or form? I love CD Projekt Red. I think their transparency up to this game's release has been phenomenal. Yeah. The Witcher 3 had issues. They worked on them. They said, they packed that fucking game with a million different add-ons and freebies. They said, thank you for buying our game. We love you. Thank you. We're going to support the shit out of this for a year with free shit. Everyone's getting free shit. Your DLC every month, you're going to get free shit. Yay, Witcher 3.
I think that's the issue. There was no transparency with this one. Yes, when there were delays, we were told there were going to be delays, and we were given some reason as to why there were delays. But we've ever only seen of this game PC footage for years. They were always hiding the truth from the public. And that's kind of scummy.
I think the most frustrating part about all of this, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead, Taylor.
But specifically around the communication and stuff like that is not only does it seem by all accounts that there was a lack of transparency to the public, but there was a lack of transparency to their own workforce. Mm-hmm. That part is what frustrates me the most, is these developers who by all accounts were killing themselves for the last year plus to try and get this game out, are finding out this news about all of this stuff from press releases or from Jason Schreier tweeting stuff out.
I want to believe that, Taylor. I do. But do you think if you're the developer of Cyberpunk that you don't know that your game runs at 12 frames per second on the base Xbox?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When they came out and said we were shocked.
Deliberately hidden this from
people. We were shocked, and we just want people to play our game. We think our game is great. We want people to play it. We were really excited for it to come out. That can't be true. You had to know that the game wasn't great. You had to know it ran like shit.
Oh, Steve, 100%. I agree with you 100%. The issue here is not the developers, and I'm talking the people in the trenches, the programmers, the artists, people like that. This entire project was so horribly mismanaged from a middle and upper management level that could see the bigger picture, that could see that when all of this stuff is getting put together, it's running at 13 frames per second. Like the leadership at CDPR has some major, major changes they need to make sure that this never happens again, because this is like a huge botch in their studio. But I want to be clear, it's solely on them. This is not on Joe Schmo level designer or, you know, Susie Smith, who is in marketing. Like this is not even close to an issue about the people who are actually in the trenches doing this. It's the management team, and we need to hold them responsible 100%.
How much more time would those trenches folks need to get this to work on base consoles after all this time already?
They would need to wait out the base consoles.
We're going back in they April. Should have never put this was supposed to be an April game.
Exactly, Taylor. Yeah. That's exactly right.
I get that.
They never come out on base consoles. That's the thing. Like,
They said 40% of pre-orders for Cyberpunk were on current gen consoles.
Out of 8 million. That's a lot of people that got fucked over.
I mean, a lot. You know, Buzz says here, it sounds like they were banking on a majority of people getting upgraded consoles. No, I think they were just I think they were banking on the fact that people, that their game would run. I think they hedged their bets. That's what they did.
If that was their assumption, you know what? The game is dog shit on a PS4 and Xbox One S, but they'll have a Series X by then, so who cares? That is not their thinking whatsoever in this scenario.
And it also can't be, because it would be completely disingenuous to think. Right. Like, just based on who actually buys these consoles, like, you have maybe 5% of your current gen console owners are able to get the next gen when it first drops. Maybe.
Even if you want it, you can't get one. That's even more frustrating. But, like, we've seen cross-gen games like Mortal Kombat X and Metal Gear Solid 5 where a different team like ports the last-gen version to like the 360 PS3 era. Even those were okay. They're not great, but they're playable. They function properly.
They worked. Yeah.
They worked. They did their job. And this is just, how do you have an IGN score for a PC, a 9, and the console score is a 4? That is a huge disparity.
Yeah.
That is a collapse, monumental collapse.
All of these issues began, too, when they showed this in 2012 at E3. You know, they showed their little teaser trailer. This game should have never even seen the light of day for the public until 2018. And it should have come out probably a year later than it actually
did. No one played the game. It was never previewed this game to the gaming press at all.
Yeah.
And it's
the fact that they've been, you know, tickling our balls for 8 years with this is just asinine. Like, it makes no sense.
To that point, Taylor, it's been 8 years. Was it worth your reputation to wait a little bit longer?
Exactly.
You know, guys, it's been so long. We're aiming for like a 95 Metacritic score. One is like one of the most hyped games. Give us the time. It's going to be worth it. And now it's just drowned out by this controversy.
Yeah. And the most frustrating part about all of this is I'm actually really fucking enjoying this game too.
Right. Like, yeah.
You can see that there's a greatness here buried in 8 miles of shit. Like, it just, that's the most frustrating part of all of it.
And it's just, I'm so sick of seeing every headline is about this game now. It's like, you just had a good game that was well received, that could have moved on and enjoyed it. But now it's like every day is like a new comparison video, a new glitch, a new this, a new that. Hooey.
Mm-hmm. Andy, take us into the hype zone.
Yes, I should. Speaking about dumb things that just exist for some reason. Did you know that if you take your PS5, if you own one, and turn it upside down and play it upside down, that you are qualified to run PlayStation Studios?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Herman Holst, who was, I believe, the former a director or CEO of what was that?
Gorilla.
Yes, Games. Gorilla Games. Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, Horizon, that's the game, not the studio. And Decima's the engine, not the studio. He put a little picture on Twitter of his cat enjoying bug snacks on his big screen TV, which I think if you allow your cat to touch your big screen TV, that's strike one, you heathen. It's adorable because cats are cute. But there was a little thing about his PS5 being upside down that many were like, what's going on there, Herman? And he immediately took it down and put a new cropped image that didn't show the PS5. Because, you know, we forgot immediately that it happened, like the internet does. And I'm looking forward to applying for a new role at Sony, because I have my PS5 upside down and on its side. So it's even more. I have a vertical upside down. It's like two legs.
Oh, wow.
So I should be like, I want Shuhei's job, is what I'm saying on the podcast right now.
I think you deserve it. I still have my doubts that that's an actual retail version of the console.
I don't know. It looks like it's a PS5. Oh, it's like,
anyway.
It is.
We're going to kick it to the mailbag, but before we do, let's get into the Facebook question of the week, which was, what video game world would you want to be sucked into Jumanji style? That was courtesy of Andy. We got a lot of the same answers, so I want to say CT Dub, Caddy, Aversa Fontana, no relation.
Okay.
Daniel Reintes, I don't know how to say his last name, and our own Vegas Girl on Fire all said Pokemon in one way or the other.
Oh, wow. That's cute. I can see that.
Which is my pick for sure. Like, I want to be a fucking Pokemon trainer. Like, let me live in that world where at 10 years old, I could quit everything and just go out in the wild with my friends and capture animals and dogfight forever. Mm-hmm. Not that I want a dogfight, but you know what I mean. I want to be the very best that no one ever was, Andy.
We'll get there one day.
Joe Gonzalez says Dream Daddy.
Oh, yes, yeah. I agree.
Dream Daddy. Farmer Pete says World of Warcraft. It's got some beautiful zones I wouldn't mind living in. Yes, and also true. And also the constant threat of peril. Caddy also says Genshin Impact, Horizon Zero Dawn, and Persona 5.
Wow, I'm loving the RPG kick.
I got to be honest with you.
Persona 5, yes.
Horizon sounds like a nightmare.
Take me to Japan.
Genshin Impact, I could see. That is a pretty cute world. Daniel also said something Star Wars related, which again, I feel like there's too much peril in the Star. Like, right. There's not enough.
It depends what you're doing. Do you work on the Death Star? Are you like an engineer putting it together? Are you an architect? I mean, that's you. You're a construction guy, Steve. Yeah. So you be doing that thing.
Yeah, but would I be doing it on would I be doing it on a desert planet?
I don't know.
I be doing it on a planet that's all water? Like that's
are
the thing.
On
like,
Endor? Are you on a Kishik? I don't know. I don't know where you are.
Sin SZA says a Final Fantasy or Dragon Quest game.
Mm.
And Anthony Marino says A Link to the Past, specifically A Link to the Past.
Very nice. And also in the chat, Kainless says Mortal Kombat.
That's terrifying.
Wow.
I'm actually scared. I'm actually terrified of this.
I would pick Stardew Valley just because I'd like to be a farmer, but with not the effort of being a farmer.
You know what I would pick?
Peaceful.
I would pick Silent Hill because I think the town would collapse trying to manifest my inner demons.
It would just collapse on itself.
Yeah, it would just like a dying star.
So we have a question from Dr. Mike. Yes. Who it's about Cyberpunk. I want to read it because it's very specific to our conversation that we just had, but it's not, we haven't answered it yet. With the way that Cyberpunk has been handled, what can CD Projekt Red do now to recover? When The Witcher 3 came out, the studio seemed so transparent and thankful. The notes to the players at the beginning of the game, all the free updates and DLC, they had deservedly earned enough good reputation during a time when microtransactions were rampant and not many studios were putting in as much work to repair their games. Now, it seems to me that they shattered any goodwill that they had with people, from not showing us what console versions look like to the faux apology they tweeted in the middle of the night, which was in the middle of the day in their time, and now offering refunds through a method that seems questionable to work at all. And but what he means by that is they did not clear this with the platform holders, so only a portion of the people who are applying for their refunds are actually able to get them. This doesn't seem like the same developer that made The Witcher. Do you trust CD Projekt Red still? Can they rebuild their reputation? What do they have to do? I have a very specific answer to this.
First, you should address the chat because we're in the void now, Taylor and I. Only you are on screen at the very moment.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. I was reading it on a different screen. I apologize. For some reason, the Discord opened on a different screen, and I don't know why this doesn't just stay on the screen. Sorry about that. So my answer is that, and they're not going to like this, and it's going to take a while to fix this. I think you have to delist the game for current gen consoles. And I think what you need to do is relabel this game a PS5 and a series version, and then say that your 4K ray tracing 60 frames patch is coming, instead of saying that the next gen version of the game is coming. Call this the next gen version of the game and delist the current gen version until you could come out with a true port. Give it to somebody else to port. Say, here's what we have. Please make it work. And let somebody else do it. And then say, hey, if you bought it already and you want a refund, sure. We'll work with you on that. We'll figure out a way to do it. If you want to keep the game and you want to play it on your backwards compatible, you know, you want to get your new machine and play it on there, it'll work fine. And we'll treat it as a next gen version. It's a free upgrade anyway, which is, of course, this is why they did that. Yes, of course, we'll be there to support you for that. I think they have to rip that Band-Aid off and own it and say, we can't make this game.
Yeah. Listen, I don't think anyone is beyond redemption at this point.
Of course not, yeah.
I mean, look at No Man's Sky. I mean, that game, everyone thought it was going to be something that it turned out not to be when it first came out. And now it's a very night and day scenario. And I think people responded very well to that. And now it's got a really good following. It's a great game. And that's a good success story for how things can be turned around for a game that doesn't really launch how you expect it to. Now, with regards to CD Projekt Red, I think they did a huge disservice to themselves with this game. I mean, it's tough because they were put on a very high pedestal for many years. One for, again, their great storytelling, their great world building, and also the transparency, free DLC, and just endless support for their games. And now it's like, it's hard. That doesn't override what this game did when it came out. And I said in the Discord, it sucks, but it's nice when a company with this much clout fails a little bit to remind us that nothing is perfect. And when we can't overhype things, because this is the end result of that. And right. it's gonna take a lot of work to rebuild that goodwill, because a lot of people are just like, I waited so long for this game and it's not at all what I wanted it to be. And I think the first step is, yes, you have to own it all. Like, get the refunds, first of all, working for people. Because even now, that's a little bit iffy for some customers. And give us a clear roadmap, like, of what's going to happen. And, fix your current gen versions. Like, what the fuck's going on?
Kayla says in the chat, isn't all of that still a lie? They're giving us a great story still. The DLC is still free. And all of that is still true, but we just have a buggy game now. This is not a buggy game.
It's not just a buggy game.
The game barely runs on two major platforms.
It was people saying, hey guys, the new patch makes it playable now. That shouldn't be a thing people say about a game where a patch is concerned.
We're lowering the standard of what is acceptable to charge people money for. The bar... Yeah. Like, I still think that if they just said, hey, if you're playing this on a base PlayStation, if you're planning on playing this on a base PlayStation, we are still trying to figure this shit out. But we want to get the game out for people who have a Pro or have a 1X or have the next-gen consoles and PC. We want to get this game out, but we're struggling to get this game out. And because we're struggling to get this game out, if you do buy it and if it does not run to your standards or you feel like you can't wait, whatever, we will refund you your money back. Even if they just say that and came out and owned that, because still to this day, I think, 80% of PlayStation 4 owners have a base PlayStation 4. They do not own a Pro. 80%. That's a vast majority of your PlayStation 4 owners. And I don't know what the numbers are for Xbox because they don't divulge their sales in that way. It may be somewhere if you guys want to Google it in the chat and bring it up, give us a link. Right, but I imagine most of them are still the Xbox One.
If you're the bargain shopper and you have your 1S thinking, okay, I can play all the Xbox games for at least 18 more months, be it, this gen or next gen, and you buy Cyberpunk and it's like 12 FPS, what do you do? That's inexcusable.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, and this is not about the stories they tell or their free content. It's about a trust has been broken where we were deliberately lied to. We were hidden the truth of what this game looked like on base consoles. And it's going to take a lot to get that trust back, more than just here's some free things to shut people up at the end of the day.
I feel like I've spoken about this
too much.
A lot already, and I like people keep sending me these articles because I'm enjoying this game. Like I shouldn't be, and the CDPR has absolutely fucked up here, and they're gonna have to do a lot of smart things, and I don't know what that is. I am oblivious to game dev. I have no idea what they're gonna have to do to like get this in a good position to where it'll be presentable to everyone. But what I will say is, do I still trust them? Sure. Do I think they need a complete management overhaul and the people at the very top need to take responsibility for this? 100%. And I think that's where the issue is. On those same yellow background tweets that they always send out, delaying the game or apologizing or whatever, they have six people who sign it at the bottom, the founders, CEO, all of that. Those six people are the ones that need to come out and personally take responsibility for this and like be the ones to like turn the ship around and actually listen to their developers. Listen to the people who are making this game, be more aware of what's actually going on, and start under-promising and over-delivering, and they have to do that for a long-ass time. I don't know that this game is going to be where it's at even for PC in a year. I don't know that this game is going to be, everything's fixed and honky-dory in a year. Like,
yeah,
I think they need to...
I think a little differently, though, with that. I think they are going to fix it. I don't think that's the problem.
Sure.
I just don't know
if a year is going to do that.
I don't know timetable. I know that they're very good at what they do for the most part, but I think that they need to think creatively for this current gen shit situation and just ask for help. Get somebody to help you with it. I just think that they're computer, they're PC game makers. Like that's their base. There, that's where they go. Like, yes, their games come out everywhere else, but we know based on when The Witcher came out, it was all using PC UI where you could barely read anything, and that was one of the first patches they had to come out with. And the horse controlled like shit because they were using WASD and mouse and just translating it into a controller, and it didn't work. So they redid that.
You would think you'd learn in 8 years, 10 years, 12 years. Like, it's been a while since that game came out.
Well, these are apples and oranges. The issues that The Witcher had are not the issues that Cyberpunk is having.
They're worse now. It's like they've learned nothing. They've gone back. They've regressed.
I don't think they've ever had this problem. I don't think they've ever been so ambitious that, like, The Witcher 3 runs on a Switch.
Right.
They know how to do this.
Sure.
They know how they know, but something that we don't understand. As base level gamers with like base level development knowledge, Like, mm-hmm. something happened with the scope of that game that makes it impossible to do, to
I
be
think,
a comparative
right.
scalability.
It's just, I think when you develop a game in the shadow of The Witcher 3, it's a lot of pressure for people. Because people think it's going to be like as epic as A Witcher 3. And then when you overpromise and then you scale back and you cram things in, there's things get, you know, you can't oversight. Just get it done. And mm-hmm. it just says it came at the cost of their once like great reputation. And it'll take a while, but it'll get there. I'm sure it will, but it's going to take a lot of time to get there.
All right, guys, it's time to wrap up the show. Before we do, we want to give you our hype, a Hype Fam member. That's right. We are going to hype a Hype Fam member. And of course, he was in our chat earlier. I don't know if he's still here, but we want to highlight Robert Highwind. If you don't know who Robert Highwind is, you shout him out in the chat if you don't know. He is a streamer, content creator who literally sweats positivity. One of the funniest dudes out there right now. He is a kind soul, a selfless person, and really just one of the funniest people on the internet. And if you want to have fun watching somebody play video games and really feel like he's one of your oldest friends ever, go check him out on twitch.tv/Robert Highwind. One of the funniest, one of the most positive, and he's one of those people that when you come across him and you make that connection with him, he will constantly raise you up in front of others. He is one of those people that will put you on a pedestal, shine a light on you, and make sure people know that you exist just because of how the kind of person that he is. And you know, obviously you have to not be a shitbag. He's not going to put a shitbag on a pedestal, but you know what I mean. If you want to nominate somebody to be the Hype Fam member of the week, please write to us at feedback@ndspodcast.com with the subject line Hype. That's it. Hype. That's all you have to do. If you want to follow us on social media, we are at @duel_screens or at NDS Podcast, Twitter and Instagram, respectively. I am at Batchild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. Taylor is at It's Purger. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/group/DS Podcasts. The Facebook question of the week will be posted as soon as this episode wraps. So please head over there and answer that question if you like. Thank you to Matt Murray for our logo and our overlay. Thank you to Bradley Parsons at Train Sound Studio, there it is, for our theme song. Thank you, Angie Moto, for all our cartoon art. And don't forget, if you want to join our Patreon, it's patreon.com/NDS Podcast. Andy. What do you want to tell the kids before we go?
I think I want to propose a moratorium on Cyberpunk talk for next week. I want no topics about it in the doc. I'm over it. That's it. I'm done.
I understand. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, viewers. And again, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. We'd appreciate it greatly. Winky sound. Shine. And as always, please be excellent to each other.